The reading today comes from Acts 2, and it's on page 1094 of the Red Bible, starting at verse 42. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks, Ali. Let's move this up a bit. Stan, this was commented on last week, Tom. Well, that's a great reading, isn't it, from Acts? I love that reading. We quite often have it because it gives us such a picture of the early church and the way that they met together, the love in which they met together. And I've called this series of talks over these 5 weeks A Call to Prayer, Our Values and Our Vision. And the clue's in the title, really. I really want us to pray at the moment into what God is saying for us as a church. I think prayer is absolutely key for us as a congregation just now. And in the last 2 weeks, we've looked at our values, 4 key values that we hold as St. Francis. And these basically come from the Bible. And these are the things that we hold against ourselves to sort of measure ourselves. We've distilled down some of the things that are key in the Bible, and then we measure ourselves against them. And the authority for those is found in Scripture. It's our values or what we aim to be, our DNA, the blood that flows in our veins, if you like. That's what we want to be. And if you haven't got one of those, there's a card at the back that tells you about those values. But now this week, we're moving on to our vision. Giving these key values, what is it that God wants us to be now, here, in this place? What is it that God has for us as God's people at St. Francis now, in this time? So this is much more a matter of opinion, really. The values come from the Bible, but our vision is about us coming together and discerning together what it is God might be saying to us now. So I'm asking for a bit of latitude over these next 3 weeks. This is for discernment together. I might not be right, asked Lynn. Occasionally I am wrong. More than occasionally. But we can and we should try and discern together what is right, what is true, what is time this for this time. What's the next step for our church, our growth, our development together? So today, I'm going to look at the next steps for us as St. Francis congregation. How can we keep growing? And then next week, I'm going to be looking at Old Sarum. And there's an opportunity to take even more responsibility for that estate. We've been working there 5 years. Penny has done an amazing job. Do you know that estate will be more houses and more people than the whole of St. Francis Parish? So we will be more than doubling the size of what we do. That is an exciting but also a daunting task. Is God calling to us? I believe he is. But we need to pray and we need to think together. Thirdly, in a couple of weeks' time, I'm going to be talking about us and our buildings. We're bursting at the seams at the moment, especially during the week. Thursday night this week, the band had to meet in the offices amongst the desks in order to practice. And that's happening regularly. We're not being able to find a room to meet in. We don't have enough room for the Sunday school on Sundays. And we're filling up very much in here. We keep increasing the number of chairs that we have, and we're filling up. So we need to think about our buildings. We've got an extension project that is ready to go. But we need to pray. This is not a time for action yet, but a time for prayer and discernment. What is God saying? So I'm calling you to prayer. fervent, real, God-honoring prayer over these weeks. And on the evening of the 7th of February, we're going to meet together as a church at the end of these three talks and pray together and worship together and seek God and listen to what he's saying to us as a church. So that's the next 3 weeks. But this week, I want to talk about the vision for St. Francis. Well, we're growing as a congregation, aren't we? Some weeks, the church is really full and we've been gradually increasing the number of chairs. It's not been a sudden and dramatic growth, but it's a sustained growth over the years, if you look at the figures. And it's reasonable to consider that we will continue to grow like that. But if we're to do that, we need to remove factors that will stop the curve turning into an S and tailing off at the top. Obviously, space and buildings are really important. But there are also other things that need to change. Our organisation, and we're looking at how we manage ourselves as a church. And also just the size of our groups. Did you know that our brain size, it's been researched by a guy called Robin Dunbar, that our brain size means that we can only really know about 150 people in our lives. Unless you have a considerably bigger head, you may be able to do 200 if you've got a really enormous head. But otherwise, there is a limit to what we can do and how many people we can connect with. And what's more, a group of 150 people, Dunbar has researched, would need to spend 42% of their time relating to each other for a whole group of 150 people to relate together properly. So we could all give up our jobs and we could all come and live here at St. Francis. I think that would be rather fun, actually. What do you think? It'd be great. But probably we do need to go to work and do other things. So we need to think about how we relate in smaller groups where we can get to know some people better. And as well as how we function as a large group. And most larger churches function on three sizes of grouping. There's the celebration, the mid-sized group, and the small group. First, the celebration. Well, this can be any size from 150 to thousands. And we join together here on a Sunday. And when we do in the 11 o'clock service, it is in a sort of celebration mode. It's a bit like a party, where we all come and we take part. Sometimes it's joyful, sometimes it's quieter, other times it's repentant, and God works with us as we come on a Sunday. We bear one another's hurts. We worship together. We seek to learn from God's word and his spirit. And as I say, it's more like a party than a performance. You know, when you go to the theatre, it wouldn't do if you leapt up and joined in, would it? You would be, people would say, shh. Or if you went to a football match, if you ran onto the pitch, that would mess up the game. But a party, you join in. And it would be really rude, actually, not to join in with a party. We just sit at the edge and sort of don't do anything. That's not really on for a party. And a celebration is a party. Everyone plays. That's what's good about it. And there are so many opportunities for that. Sundays require massive amounts of input, don't they? And the celebration just doesn't happen here. The celebration happens right across the site. All sorts of groups today are celebrating and part of what we're doing. We're split up at the moment, but we'll be back again later on. I was in Fuse AM last week, privileged to be in their group, that sort of 11s to 14s, over in the youth lounge. It was such an energy in that group. It was brilliant and brilliantly led by Joy as well. Mind, I'll pass on the honey and Marmite on toast, mixed together. Disgusting. Revolting. Serving is not something that Christians do sometimes. As we come and we all get involved with the party, we are to be people of service. And that's a key part of us being together. Service is an attitude of heart. And Tom did that lovely foot washing thing at the beginning. Just reminds us of that. We're here to wash each other's feet. And many tasks in the church are not glamorous, but they are God-honoring. They are worship. They are what we're called to. And there are lots of opportunities to serve. And, you know, we want our children to be serving too. Our children are totally part of our church. It's not that we're the church and they go off to their groups. It is they are the church too. And so we've have a value of including our children in worship, and we've gradually reduced the amount of time that they go out to their groups so that they're spending time in worship and in singing and engaging. We don't want our worship to be something that they go out of, but something that they're part of. Otherwise, they'll learn that worship is not really for them. They're in for a few minutes and they go out and they leave it. And then when they grow up, they won't be part of the church. So that's why we're including the children much more in worship. And if you have children, ask them what they've done in their groups. Encourage them to sing in the worship. And actually, there's some brilliant singing going on, especially in the front here with some of the children. It's really moving. Actually, just turn around and have a look and see how they are worshiping. And set an example to your children by the way that you worship and the way that you serve as well. Because do you know, your children will do what you do. That's kind of scary, isn't it? In lots of areas, that's scary. You know when the child comes in, they sort of flop down in the chair and they say, "Oh, what a day." And you know that's what you've just said. They're copying you. And your children will copy you. So if you're passionate, if you're worshiping, and if you're serving in the church, then your children will do that for life. It's what keeps them in the church. So across this site, everybody serves, everybody gives, everybody loves. It's costly, but it's great to get stuck in to what God is doing. That's the celebration that we share. So the 11 o'clock service is a sort of celebration-sized event. But we also need to meet in small groups, don't we? Every Christian needs to meet with a few other Christians in order to be real about their faith. You know, honesty brings growth. And, you know, we can't be honest to 150 people, but we can be honest to a few people. It allows others to support you. It allows others to pray for you. It allows them to bring the word of God into your situation, to challenge you, to keep you sharp in your faith. And a small group may be anything from 3 people in a prayer triplet up to 10 or 12 people in a home group or mum's Bible study or whatever it is. And when you meet, make sure that you really do sharpen each other. It's easy to meet on quite a superficial level, but Proverbs says iron sharpens iron. And that's what we're looking for in our groups, that we sharpen each other. In Acts, they met in a celebration-sized group in the temple courts, and they met in small groups in homes. And as we read, they were a live church and people came to join them. So that's stuff that I think we already know. But what's the vision? What do I think God is calling us into that's new? Well, it's this. Over the years, I think that to come, I think we need to gradually develop another level of grouping between the celebration, the big group that's here, and the small, intimate group. I think we probably need groups of around 25 to 40 people that have a mission focus, missional-sized communities. And that size is really ideal for mission. It's really difficult for people to feel immediately welcome in a very large group like this, in a congregation, in a celebration. It's too big, it takes too long. It's also difficult for people to enter a small group, which is very intimate, in somebody's home. And so I think there's room for something that is in between that. Now, I'm not saying that I'm going to sort of ask you all to line up and then we divide you all into 30s sort of now and then we'll go and do it. It'd be kind of scary, wouldn't it? I think this is something that will gradually emerge. As we have a vision for it, we will see God just beginning to raise up ways in which we can group in different ways, as well as a small group and the celebration, something intermediate. And a missional community, one of these mid-sized groups, has a particular secular focus or theme to it, outside of the Christian faith, that bonds the people together. So it might be that they, a geographical one, they may all live in the same road. Or it might be that they share the same occupation, or the same workplace, or the same shared interest, food or dinner parties or canoeing, or could be anything really. that bonds people together. So, for example, there might be a geographical one, might be a Balmoral Road mission community. And Christians who live there meet together to pray, perhaps once a month, and to really focus on how can we bless Balmoral Road? How can we pray for those who are neighbours? And then, as you pray, you seek what God is calling you to do as a people of blessing. So it may be that you make a list of things people are willing to share in your road. So a hedge trimmer or an angle grinder or drain rods. And you have a list for your road of everybody in the road, what they're willing to share. And so people share things and community begins to build. And you might find that there are people that need to be visited in your road. Might be when the snow comes. I'm looking forward for some snow. I hope it's going to come here. When the snow comes, you might go and visit those who are shut in and can't do the shopping. You might find, actually, that there are Methodists and Catholics and Baptists in your road. Welcome to the Baptists here today. It's good to have you with us. We're not different. We're all one in Christ, and we can pray together and work together for that area. And after a while, people in your road may begin to ask, well, what is it about these Christians? You know, there's something really happening here, something really different. And they might go along with you to church, or they might go along with you to your small group, but they will have got to know you by then. And it doesn't matter which church they go to, because there'll be people of different churches in your missional size group. It doesn't matter. It's kingdom. We build all churches, and God's kingdom grows. And imagine if we had a missional sized group in the hospital, perhaps 30 or 40 people, Christians from across the churches came together and met to be prayerful and missional and bless the hospital. Wouldn't that be amazing? At the moment, Christians in the hospital, many of them don't know each other. Street pastors has been an example of how Christians can come together and find that actually we're all very similar. And there is a wonderful unity in being together and being involved in mission. I think this can be multiplied across our city. And we need church leaders to work on this, and that's what we're doing at the moment, praying and thinking. How can we be not lots of different churches, but actually one network of churches working together, making a difference, connecting with one another? So can you pray for that? Pray for it. I think there's something important here. And some of our home groups are already naturally drawing together to be missional communities. Our young marrieds and singles home group has become almost too big to fit into a house. It may be that they'll have to split into two groups, but they can still come together to be a missional community. Maybe they'll become three groups and come together to do missional things, so that there's 30 or 40 of them having events that young marrieds and singles can come to. Do you see how that could work? And our oldest group, our senior members group that meets on Monday morning, are doing the same. They're really full. They're inviting their friends, and they could meet in different rooms in the same house for Bible study and then come back together so that they get both sizes of group. And home groups, you might decide, well, actually, we could have a missional focus, two home groups come together, but you'd need a secular mission focus to be able to do it. So it might be wine tasting or Zumba, or I don't know. You could decide what your home group might do. And it's not that we're all going to, this will happen all at once, but as God prompts us, we'll be able to do this, I think. I think there'll be a sort of blurred, mixed economy of things that we're doing going on, and that's fine. We need to do what God is calling us to do rather than sort of just have a strategy and try and shoehorn ourselves into it. So the aim is to be truly missional at every level. This is for us to discern, us to pray through, and to talk about. So that's what I invite you to do, to pray and to talk and discern. So that's this week. Next week, we're going to look at Old Sarum, and I'll give you some more things to pray and talk about and discern. But let's pray, shall we? Father, we thank you for what you are doing here amongst us. But Lord, we don't want to look in. We don't just want to be people looking in and dealing with our own needs here in church. We want to be a people for the world. We want to be missional, bringing people to know you. What a privilege it is to know you. We want others to know you too. So Lord, take us, make us whatever you want us to be. Guide us as we pray and as we discern together. Lord, we want to be totally yours, totally guided by you. So speak to us, we pray, in these weeks, as we look at our values and we look at our vision. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.